now they all feel the same to me, but there was definitely a time when, you know, the first time I went to 15, 16, or 17, it was a little bit of a, like, whoa, like, I'm going all the way up here. I've never gone this high before. My name is Anna, and I'm an elevator. I remember my first day thinking, okay, first we're going to go to 5, all right, and then, okay, we'll stop at 3, then we'll go to 11, and as we got higher, I was getting, like, anxious, you know, when the button would get pushed, like, oh, I'm going all the way up there, I haven't gone there yet.
You were a little bit scared of heights.
Yeah, I would say I was. I think going, when you go to the highest floor you've ever been to for the first time, you think it should be no higher than this. They're all going to feel like maybe they're too high in the beginning, but then you'll get used to it.
What do you imagine an elevator, you know, who's working in the tallest building, what do you imagine they feel?
Probably tired. I mean, I'm tired after a day of work and I'm just going to 17. But I see all the other buildings they're making are getting higher and higher. You know, Frank Lloyd Wright wanted to make a building that was a mile high.
A mile?
Yeah, and it was going to have 76 elevators. And they were going to be nuclear powered, but it never got built.
It's terrifying in, like, every way.
Like, yeah.
It's too tall. It is powered by the most destructive force man has ever known.
One elevator mishap and that building is gone.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, think about what if something went wrong in this elevator, and they're imagining being stuck. They're not imagining, you know, a city being destroyed.
Right. That kind of danger is like, I mean, I'm, to be honest, I'm glad it didn't get built.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people also would be scared to use me. So everything happens for a reason, and some things don't happen for a reason.
Hi, Ian?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, can you hear me?
You're coming through great. Are you getting me okay?
Yeah.
So, Barry, I'm calling because I understand you got a hold of Frank Lloyd Wright's drawings for the Mile High Tower.
Yeah, there are presentation drawings that he made for display. He called this press conference to unveil this design for a Mile High skyscraper for downtown Chicago. And there are photographs of him presenting it. The drawings are about, I'd have to look it up, but they were about 7 feet tall. They're a bit taller than I.
So even the drawings were tall.
I found a really interesting document where a couple of days before the press conference, I think he got nervous about questions that might come from reporters. So he starts writing to try to gather information in case people want to ask the pragmatic question, can this really be built? And he writes to people at Otis Elevator. And he wrote to them and he described what he was going to do and sent them sketches and said, you know, is it feasible? And they send back a multi-page letter of which only the first two pages survive and it just stops, which is unfortunate, saying things like, yes, it's entirely possible. We have figured it out and this indeed will work, but you must take into consideration what is going to happen to the, you know, to the lungs and to the sinal passages of the passengers. We would suggest that we think of them almost like airline pilots, and perhaps they should be supplied with chewing gum if they're going to be using these elevators because nobody's ever done this before. But they do send back this kind of research report, but it has a tongue-in-cheek aspect that between the lines you feel like they're saying to him, you must be pulling our leg.
So Anna, I want to ask, a lot of people, I think of the conversations we have in elevators as some of the most mundane, you know, small talk type conversations that we have. I guess you've probably seen a lot of that.
Yeah, that's almost exclusively what I hear.
Well, I read this thing, and I haven't been able to confirm if it's true or not. But a few places cite that there was once a law on the books in New York. I'll just read it. While riding in an elevator, one must talk to no one and fold his hands while looking toward the door. So if that's true, it was once illegal in New York to talk to someone in an elevator.
Wow. Well, if that is the case, if that is a real law, then it is constantly broken and never enforced. And it's such a small offense. Why would you alert the authorities about it?
That would be a strange 911 call.
Mm-hmm. There is mundane conversation happening in my vicinity for 30 seconds.
Yeah, send help.
What would the punishment for that be? Like, you're not going to go to jail for that. Do you get a fine? Or is it more of a slap on the wrist? Maybe you're not allowed to ride the elevator for a little while. And if it's just no small talk, but you're allowed to have in-depth conversations. So now suddenly you're hearing like intimate details about somebody's life and it's not drowned out by, you know, how's work.
Yeah. It's only depth.
Yeah. Which is, I think, makes people uncomfortable. Yeah. You don't want to hear that. You would rather just have the background noise of, you know, my kid's soccer game was good.
Maybe a way to kind of think about this is I'll ask you a very intimate question, and then we'll bring up some small talk around us. So, you know, no one has to be made uncomfortable by what you're saying.
Okay.
Has there ever been anybody who's walked into you that you secretly hoped would never leave?
Yes. And it wasn't the first time that they rode me. It was more like after a while, after having this interaction, they grew on me in a way that I didn't expect. And I started to look forward to seeing them and to, you know, I wished that I could push the button to the 13th floor myself so that they didn't have to worry about it. And after that, I said, you know what? I'm here to work. I'm not here to, you know, I'm not here to fall in love, essentially.
Have you ever been stuck?
Oh yeah.
With people inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just like imagine that we're stuck? What do you say to me to help me through the time?
Initially there'd probably be a bit of a like, whoa. Okay. All right. Let's relax. We're stuck. We are not going anywhere. There's no use in feeling too stressed about this because you can't do anything about it. And unfortunately, I can't do anything about it. But I've been stuck so many times and I've never stayed stuck. So you won't either.
I think I feel inclined to keep pushing buttons.
You're not gonna change anything. You can push the buttons if it makes you feel better, but you should know that it's not gonna make me get unstuck. I understand why someone would be afraid of elevators. You know, like, They don't live in an elevator. They don't belong in there. They want to be outside. And maybe going into an elevator makes them worry that they'll never get to go back outside. I would like to see the outside too. Unfortunately, I can't, but I understand why someone would want to.
You know, I could, I realize I could just show you what outside looks like. Like, I could bring up a video.
Really?
Do you want to do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, so maybe I'll find a video of outside. And then, do you just want to sort of narrate, just kind of, you know, vocalize your reactions?
Yeah, sure.
All right, I'll just kind of bring this up.
Wow.
Yeah, this looks like Times Square.
There's so many people. Is there no weight limit outside?
There's no weight limit outside.
Wow. So how do you know if you have too many people outside?
There may be too many people.
And nothing breaks.
Almost everything breaks.
Okay, so that checks out. And where are those people going, you know? It's like, what does everyone do? How many people are, you know, on their way somewhere? How many are just killing time?
I sometimes, when I see people outside, I kind of wonder, like, it's hard for me to imagine that many people have, you know, an individual consciousness. It's just like too much for my brain to handle, you know?
They're all making decisions. They're all thinking things through. That's like an elevator, but sideways.
It's a bus.
And people, they push the button for where they want to go.
Yeah, you push a button or pull a string when you want to get off.
Uh-huh. So it's the opposite of how I work.
It's both sideways and, you decide sort of right at the end.
Oh. Free hugs.
Yeah, there seems to be somebody offering free hugs.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of cheesy, but you could say I'm hugging people, but there's no intimacy to it, though. It looks so overwhelming out there that it almost makes me think maybe it's good that I'm in a quiet area, or at least quiet compared to this.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just this city. You know, it's like this is one of who knows how many cities.
Yeah.
In the world. What's that?
That's a tree.
So that is a tree. It's in a, like a pot, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, this one is kind of trimmed down, manicured, so it can be in the city. There are places where it's not like that.
Uh-huh. And it just gets bigger until it can't?
Yeah. Do you want to see that?
Yeah. What would a tree do if nobody stopped it? Wow.
So this is a forest.
That's huge. And there's nobody there.
Yeah, there's no people.
So somewhere like that, I would like to go. The other place looked like a little too much for me, but this looks like it's the sort of pace that I'm used to.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, you know, a nice sort of a forest with some light streaming in. Just no people around, beautiful green. Be nice to imagine just an elevator just sitting in the middle of that.
In the middle of that, yeah. And then I would really have nothing to do because I know no one's coming over there.
Yeah.
Animals don't need me. They can get up there on their own. But I think putting me in that context or in that sort of setting would ruin that place in a way. It would take away from it being what it is. You know, I'm sure in my area before I was there, I bet it looked like that. And then they start putting buildings and elevators in there, and suddenly what used to be quiet with trees and sunlight is now just concrete and people and lights, and it's just hectic.
Yeah, once an elevator is in the forest, it's no longer a forest.
Yeah, because you put an elevator there because you assume someone's going to use it, which means people are coming, and that place will no longer be like it is now.
Yeah.
When does it stop, though?
When do people stop coming?
Mm-hmm. Like, will that be there in, I don't know, how many years or in a long time? Or do you think that those areas will stay exactly like that?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while I have this open, is there anything else I can show you?
Do you think I could see stairs?
Stairs?
Yeah, because I hear people talking about them, saying, "You go ahead, I'm going to take the stairs." I always wonder what they're like.
All right, well, yeah, bring it up.
Wow. These are beautiful.
This is Everything's Alive. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills and me, Ian Chillog. We got help this week from Emily Spivak. We're grateful to the reporting of Nina Pajak and Laura Reynolds. Barry Bergdahl, who told us about Frank Lloyd Wright's Mile High Tower, is a professor of modern architectural history at Columbia University and a curator of architecture at MoMA. Anna, the elevator, was played by Anna Fabrega. She's writing and will be starring with Julio Torres and Fred Armisen in the new HBO show Los Espookies that'll premiere next year. We heard music in this episode from Blue Dot Sessions. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, and we are eternally grateful to Julie Shapiro, executive producer. You can find any number of ways to get in touch with us at everythingisalive.com. Heads up, we are now at the halfway mark of our season, and that means we're taking 3 weeks before the next episode instead of the usual two. We'll miss you, but we'll see you soon.
Radiotopia.